This is Zolak and Bertrand.
We're sports show radio hosts.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I have nothing new to report. He's getting evaluated this afternoon. Will not play tomorrow, and then we'll go from there. You know what, Charlie? This is new. We missed him for a pocket earlier this year, and we survived it. But we'll see what happens going forward with him and how extensive his injury will be. So until we know that, it's hard to get anxious.
All right, I'm starting to get a little nervous about that injury. Charlie McAvoy hurt his knee over the weekend, had a brace yesterday. You heard Cassidy say after the game that it didn't seem serious. Didn't look serious at the time. I mean, it was seconds into the game.
Yeah, think about the moment, too, though. I mean, it was a hell of an environment. Place was rocking. You know, you're feeling good about everything. You probably get briefed on it quickly and thought, you know, we're keeping him out like we talked about yesterday just for concerns and make sure the kid's right. Let's just be safe here. It's the Canadians. We got him this year. And I think he may be, from a tone standpoint, that's what we talked about yesterday. It seemed like, doesn't seem dire. And then you hear him talk yesterday, it seems like there's concern in the voice.
Well, just the fact that there's no update. How long does it take to figure out what's going on?
This is Belichickian type stuff. And Felger Mass talked about this too, where they've done a nice job this year, keeping things in house. To where
we'll see what happens going forward with him and how extensive his injury will be. So
come on, you're the head coach of the Bruins. We live in one of the best medical cities in this country. You have everything at your disposal. Your home, they know what the deal is. Okay, they stick that kid in an MRI tube on Sunday. They know what's going on.
Well,
that's why he had a certain brace on his knee.
It's now Tuesday, and they definitely know what's going on.
Of course he did.
Okay?
Yeah. What do you think's going on?
I don't know, but
I'm worried now, too.
Not giving an update after having a couple of days to figure out what it was, even if it was minor.
Yeah.
You could say that. The fact that there's nothing being said leads me to believe it's actually something significant that will require a decent amount of time off. Not a game or two.
I joked yesterday when Sarge was doing the Hub headlines. It's great to have Hardy back today as we get our rhythm back here with our
rhythm.
Show.
Yeah, it's rhythm. Jim's and back. Jim.
It's nice
back.
That you're the number one selected host that they prefer.
Thank you. I miss
here
Jim.
Here comes
though.
That passive-aggressive thing from Zoe again.
No, it's not really. Right. I mean, Fred talked about it today. Yeah, like Hardy's their choice. That's nice that they have that ability to take people like that. It's nice during draft time like that.
So there's that. And then there's also guys who cover the team who are talking about Charlie McAvoy in ways that... You just don't like. You don't like hearing these things. There's Joe Haggerty on BST last night, correct?
It was actually Early Edition. Giardi. Whatever show Giardi was on last night.
Sorry. Get those two confused. They're so different from one another.
That's such a different
let's
show.
Go to the Arbella Early.
One is a desk.
Yeah, one is a desk, one doesn't.
The time.
Let's go to the Early Edition Joe Haggerty on NBC Sports Boston.
From what you've been able to ferret out over the last, 48 hours, do you believe that this is a serious injury?
That depends, I guess, on your definition of serious, right? I think it's probably an injury where he's going to miss some time.
Pause. What do you mean, your definition of serious? We now have to debate the definition of serious, Hags? Is it a serious injury or is something minor that he misses a couple of games and he's back?
But
the hell is this?
There's so many things with the knee. It's patella, it's meniscus, it's MCL, it's ACL. It's what's the severity of the sprain? He's right here.
So I'm going to tell you what I think is going on here. I think that is Hags buying time. That's a stall tactic to figure out what he's going to say without sounding like he knows exactly what's going on because he doesn't want to reveal what he knows. Right? He's trying to firm something up.
Okay.
Right. He's hearing things, but he hasn't been able to confirm things.
This is Reese.
Quick mental stall.
Yes.
Before he answers it the way he wants to.
Reese X.
All right. How does he go?
That depends, I guess, on your definition of serious, right? I think it's probably an injury where he's going to miss some time here. I think best case, we may be looking at an MCL sprain or some kind of sprain in the left knee. He had a left knee brace while he was taking the team picture today, out in flip-flops in the left knee brace out on the ice with the rest of his team. So you may be talking about him missing, you know, 3 weeks, a month, something like that, being ready, able to get back and get ready for the playoffs. I think that scenario, you're okay and you can deal with that. Similar to Patrice Bergeron, where he's going to miss a decent amount of time, but you're going to get him back maybe to rev up towards the playoffs at the very end.
I mean, wait. Maybe. No, they're getting Bergeron back.
No,
stop it with
McAvoy,
that.
But
no, but he also mentioned
Bergeron.
Similar to Bergeron.
Yeah, but they also talked about, because don't think just because Patrice is going to be right when he gets back, he still has to, even though he's working out and trying to do as much as he can and stay off the foot, but work out with the legs, he still needs to get the skating legs back. That's going to be the same case with McAvoy here. Wow. This changed. I mean, best case scenario? What's worse?
3 or 4 weeks?
What the hell's the worst case
scenario?
Try
and get him back by the playoffs?
That's best case.
That's best. That's best case.
That's good.
That means he's got a tear. That means, you know, I guess you could technically define it as a sprain, because sprains are tears. But that is... he's got a torn MCL or something.
Great. I went back and watched that Zapruder film of the Bigfoot, you know, where he's going into the boards, and is it the right knee, the left knee, the right knee gives. You could see the left knee buckle, and it just, and Felger was all over this yesterday, too, with his commands to Jimmy. Yeah, that thing went in. That left knee went in. That's MCL to me.
So 4 weeks from today, the
Seidenberg.
Bruins.
This is Seidenberg all over again.
4 weeks from today, the Bruins will have 3 games remaining on their schedule in the regular season. If he's out for a month, he could come back, play 3 games as a tune-up before they go into the playoffs. But that is a tight timeline, if that's what we're talking about.
You said it yesterday. You go, it just doesn't matter. They're going to figure it out anyway. This team's just
No. I didn't think the injury was serious.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't say, oh, he's going to be out. They'll figure it out. This completely changes things.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't think it was that serious.
A little different tone today.
And since that point, I've watched that video that Felger Maz posted no less than 20 times, which every time you watch it, you think it's more and more serious. It has that impact on you when you keep watching the video over and over and over again.
It's the same as the llama video you sent yesterday during a text chain. Same thing. Keep watching that over and over. Yeah. I don't think it looks good. I think it's left knee, MCL, to what he's saying. And Haggerty's around. And he's, here's whispers. Yeah. I think 4 weeks. That's not good.
No, so that's.
I clipped it there, by the way. Haggerty went on to say, and if you're looking at like an ACL, then you're talking long term, and that's like.
Oh,
not-
thanks,
ACL?
Joe.
ACL? Wait a minute.
He threw that in.
Like, that to me.
There's no ACL there.
Seems like speculation.
He's not. Well, wait a minute. Yeah, you can't stand on the MCL. ACL, I mean. You can brace it up and stand.
We tried to reach out to Hags. He didn't respond to you, right? Let's check the text. We just want to get him on quickly.
It's probably at breakfast.
To ask him how worried we should be. Did he respond?
Not yet, no.
Is it pancake day today? At IHOP? He's not pounding a couple short stacks. I'm sorry.
But Charlie McAvoy is out tonight. He's not going to play tonight, obviously, for the Bruins, and it could be some time. What does that mean? What does that mean for the Bruins going forward? It certainly doesn't mean good things.
Don't forget about Tuca. We got Charlie and Tuca.
Okay, so interesting theory that I heard yesterday on my drive home from Felger. I think it's a good one. I actually like it a lot. There's nothing wrong with Tuca. That it's the team benching him to get his mind straightened out. And that's why they're saying very minor injury.
Right.
Very minor injury. It's not anything too serious. He'll be back. It's a way of just getting him the rest and getting him the mental break to straighten him out before the stretch run. Which, I like that theory. I'm a fan.
I'd be more of a fan of that theory, yeah, because then he wouldn't have anything wrong with him, and to where, you know, this is a guy that, you know, over the last couple
which
of years...
Which means we're not sitting here talking about Italian subs.
Yeah.
That it wasn't one too many at Buffs. Or the Italian subs
Puff's
on
pub.
Friday with Hillman.
Those
it was
wings.
None of those things.
Those wings at Buffs pub pretty damn good.
Yeah,
man.
I mean, sure.
Really
but
good.
It was more about the team just trying to get them right.
Yeah.
And that's what it was about. 617-779-0985. You're starting to get worried about Charlie McAvoy's injury. I'll tell you this. Good thing the Bruins have some good depth. Good thing they were all about depth at the deadline. 617-779-0985. Get to your Bruins thoughts on both Tuca and Charlie McAvoy, who could be out for some time. No official update, and I'm starting to get concerned about that because there is no official update. Bruce Cassidy is shying away from saying anything right now about the defenseman's knee. We'll get to your calls. Got a lot to get to today here on Zolak and Bertrand, including Dan Shaughnessy coming up at 11. We'll talk to Brad Stevens at 10:50.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Are they aliens?
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We have an expert on the expert hotline from NBC Sports Boston, Joe Haggerty. We have found him. We sent out the Haggerty bat signal, and here he is. Hags.
I eventually respond to the signal. Hopefully it's before the crime gets committed so I can stop it, you know?
So last night we played the clip of you talking about the McAvoy injury. How concerned should we be, and how informed is your opinion on this? Because it sounds like you know a little something.
Well, I mean, look, I think you put together all the context clues of what's going on here. You know, he was on the ice, walking around, taking a team photo with a left knee brace and flip-flops on. And, you know, we haven't heard anything from the team, which, you know, most people will tell you, yes, they wait to do a scan until the swelling goes down a lot of times with knee injuries like this. But usually a doctor can tell pretty quickly examining a knee if, you know, the ligaments are torn and it's a major injury. So, you know, you put all this stuff together and it seems like it's more on the lesser side of things, the better case scenarios, rather than, you know, him being gone for an entire the rest of the season, which is, you know, sprained MCL, a few weeks to maybe a month, somewhere in that range, which should put him in line to be ready for the playoffs at the beginning or, you know, shortly after it starts, if not even before the end of the regular season. So you put it all together, and it would seem here the Bruins dodged a bullet. But until the team comes out with the official word and confirmation that that's what it is, I mean, we're all doing a little bit of guesswork here.
And I keep referring to Seidenberg. I remember at the end of that one year where you're waiting for Seidenberg. That was an MCL, right? But that was like a third-degree sprain, worst kind, right?
Yeah, and there's different degrees to it, obviously. A lesser one can be a few weeks, and a greater one can be, I think it's in 4 to 6 weeks, yeah, something like that. So, you know, somewhere in that range, as long as he's ready to go by the playoffs, I think all is good. Just like Patrice Bergeron, like having injuries like Bergeron and McAvoy happen now, you know, with a month or more to go until the postseason starts, where these guys have enough chance to heal and get to 100% and get them ready to go for the postseason. That's really all that matters at this point. You know, the Bruins are really not playing for much. I think they've got home ice advantage well in hand against the Maple Leafs in the first round. I don't think they're going to catch the Tampa Bay Lightning for the first overall seed with Bergeron and McAvoy hurt now. So they're, you know, just basically sort of wanting to tread water here and get guys healthy and get ready for the postseason.
All right, how damaging would it be if McAvoy doesn't make it back?
Yeah, it would be game-changing for them. It would put a chilling effect on their playoff hopes and for going long in the playoffs. You need McAvoy to be the workhorse for this team. You know, the Bruins are not going to go on a Stanley Cup run if they need Zdeno Chara to play 28, 29 minutes a night for 2 months. You know, that's just not going to happen. They need Charlie McAvoy to step up and to be that guy and to support Chara and take some of the burden off him in all these situations if they're going to win. And not only that, they need his puck-moving abilities, his abilities on the power play, and the dynamic ability to create offense that he brings that really nobody else outside of Torrey Krug has on that back end. So, you know, you take one of their most important players out of the equation, I think you take their chances of going on a long cup run. As it is right now, I still think realistically what you should expect out of this team is they take an advance a step here. You know, get to the second round. We'll see what they do against the Tampa Bay Lightning if they can get that far. and then be happy that they've taken a step, even if that's as far as it goes. But I don't even think you have a chance to do that if McAvoy's not a part of it.
So should I stop hanging on to the flip-flops yesterday as the sign of he's okay? Because that's what I saw.
I don't think that has anything to do with it.
I mean, yeah, there is, though. I mean, if you have a knee injury, they're going to send you out onto the ice in flip-flops and say, yeah, no, you're fine.
Well, put it this way.
I mean, I would say it's not ACL. That's all.
Yes.
I would have a hard time believing that they let him go out there under his own power and flip-flops with a knee brace if he tore a ligament that was going to have him out for the season. I don't know that we would have seen that out there. I mean, look at Bergeron right now. They put him in a chair, and they pushed him out onto the ice. They didn't let him walk, and he's on crutches and everything else. Like, I have a feeling if it were more serious, you would have seen that kind of a situation rather than him, you know, doing his own thing and flip-flops. So I think there's something in what you're saying, Vito, but like I said, we know in these knee injuries, until the swelling goes down and they scan it, nothing is 100% guaranteed. So, you know, we should know pretty soon. Well, I think we would know if it's season-ending. Now, the interesting thing here is close to the playoffs, guys start playing through injuries, and all the NHL teams engage in subterfuge and, you know, vagaries with injuries and all that. Are we ever going to, you know, hear an official announcement of what this is from the team? I don't know that we're going to hear that this close to the playoffs.
What do you got on Tuca? What are you laughing at? A little chuckle there.
Is he being benched? Is he being benched to get straightened out?
I don't think he's being benched. I think there is a little something there, but I think it's something he probably could be playing through. And I think this is another example of the late season sort of mental and physical, you know, break from the action that Tuca tends to need in order to be at his best. And I think we saw this last year in Brooklyn too, right, where he didn't make that trip. There was something going on where he needed a rest late in the season. And I think we're seeing that kind of thing from him down the stretch now. And you hope that he responds the way that he did last year when he came back in, or that he did earlier this year when he wasn't playing for a few games and Khudobin really played well. But, you know, I said last night, and I'll say it again, this is the no excuses tour for Tuukka Rask this season. He's getting all the rest that he needs. Khudobin has played extraordinarily well to make sure that he wasn't overworked during the regular season. He's going to hit his target dates for games played. You know, Tuukka Rask is getting all of the maintenance and all of the high maintenance that he needs as the number one goaltender to succeed. Now it's going to be on him to perform when he gets back in there down the stretch into the playoffs, because, you know, there are no injuries, serious injuries to blame here. There is no fatigue to blame here. There are no excuses for Rask. He needs to go out and get it done as a number one goalie. And if he doesn't, then you start having to think about your goaltending situation, I think.
Wow.
All right, Joe Haggerty, NBC Sports Boston. You can catch him on all their programs, Early Edition, BST, all the above. Joe, thank you.
Way to go, Joe.
Thanks, boys. See you, though. See you, Biddle.
Appreciate it. Joe Haggerty joining us on the Expert Hotline.
So you heard that yesterday with Felger?
I hear Hags, you know, say that it's that late season, needs the rest. And I look at that it's all one and the same.
Yeah.
Like, it's all one and the same, whether it be a benching or giving him rest, whatever it is. It's in an effort to get him right. Or get him ready.
Well, and he corrected that early in the year. And credit them and Cassidy for having the balls to do it. You know, let's go. Let's get this thing right. Like you said, 1 month from today, what do they have? Two games?
They'll have three games remaining. 4 weeks from today.
Wow. Like, we're there. It's getting there.
617-779-0985. Kevin is in Brighton today. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, what's going on, Beto? What's up, Zo?
What's up?
What's going on, guys? Hey. So I want to get your take on the Bruins' chances at a cup run right now, because I personally wrote them off 2 weeks in. And, you know, you hate to see anybody get injured, but I'm starting to feel pretty good, you know.
I mean, based on the way everybody looks and the addition of Nash and how that's going to hopefully elevate Krejci, get him going and get him back to the old days. I mean, but this isn't the same team like, you know, when I keep talking about Seidenberg, when they went down, there was a lack of depth there. This team has some depth. It's up to Carlo to step up here, too. Yeah, we're going to talk to Krug later. I'm sure he'll give the standard answers.
Oh, I'm sure he'll be very enlightening. Right, shed down a lot of light right on the injury situation.
Right down. It's like, you know who he is? We're going to start calling him McCourty.
He is Torrey McCourty. He is the new
Torrey McCourty.
You know, guy on the team that has transitioned from young player to now a veteran who is capable of saying absolutely nothing. Right. It's a skill. Really is. It's a skill.
Yeah, it's work.
It doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah. Like old Nate.
He
Solder.
Used to tell us stuff. Not anymore.
It's like Volmer.
Not anymore. He's closed right up. Now it's like a game. Like, Solder. He thinks it's a game, doesn't he? He thinks it's funny.
He went over and put his flashers on. Pulled his car over and it's got turn signal on. All that.
He's trying to put it back on me, saying I don't ask good questions. I don't ask good enough questions to allow him to open up. I'm like, what? How about you just open up? How about you just tell us whatever's on your mind?
They all know, too. They know exactly what's going on. They know exactly what the guy's yelling from. And
it's a skill.
Yeah.
So we will talk to Tory Krug later today. That will be at 12:20 with Dan Shaughnessy in studio. Shaughnessy's going to be joining us coming up at 11 o'clock. And we will get to some Red Sox items because Zoe's fired up about the Red Sox.
The Bird stuff was great today. I thought that was enlightening. Hardy did a fantastic job with him because Bird's excited for the season.
Well, and, you got the pitcher with his arms up over his head.
He doesn't know which guy it is. Can't remember the name of the guy, but he's got this windup where it's kind of an over-the-top release. It's weird. When
brings his arms up.
Or over his head.
He wants to talk about that.
Talk about that guy.
Can we get him? Is there any way we could get Bird as a baseball guest?
Weekly. I mean, we're looking for a replacement for Carrabas.
I need something, yeah.
We don't have Jared Carrabas this season. Yeah. You know, he's off to bigger and better things with Barstool.
Right.
Bird on baseball every week.
Like Bird?
Bird on baseball. Sponsored by the Mark the Bird Fidrich Estate. May he rest in peace.
617-779-0985. We'll talk to Brad Stevens coming up at 10:50. Maybe we can get a Celtics thought out of Hardy. We weren't with him yesterday. And I know how he feels about Al Horford. And we were really looking forward to talking to Hardy about Al Horford yesterday, but we didn't have the chance.
We'll do that next.
All right. Let's do it next.
Well, he was ready last night.
Sports Hub headlines.
No Kyrie Irving for the Celtics last night. It wasn't an issue. They beat the Bulls 105-89. It wasn't even that close. Green led by 37 points in the third quarter. Brad Stevens, you guys get to the basket, huh?
Well, we've been pretty good at doing that. I mean, obviously, sure. Greg had a number of baskets in the Houston game. You know, we were attacking the rim better since the break, probably. It's a major emphasis for us to attack the basket, get to the line. But, you know, the guys did a good job of that tonight.
Next up, Celtics get a couple nights off before they visit the Timberwolves on Thursday night. Bruins home tonight to take on the Red Wings. Bees will be without Patrice Bergeron, Charlie McAvoy, Judd Sirott, Bob Beers. Begin our coverage at 6:30. Dunkin' Donuts Bruins pregame show here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And the bullpen car is coming back. The Arizona Diamondbacks are going to be
Fenway.
No.
Oh, shoot.
Arizona Diamondbacks got the couple of them. $20,000 they spent to put the helmet on top of the golf cart.
They spent $20,000 to put a helmet on top of the cart?
Yep.
That's a pretty big helmet.
The Diamondbacks president said 2 decades ago when they went away, he said, I think it wore out its welcome. Well, we think the time is right to bring it back. In other words, they sold a massive sponsorship to a rideshare app that paid to have the golf carts done and are paying to have their name on the side of it.
I gotta say, it became like a joke because it was taking more time to, like, pull out the cart, pick the guy up, drive him from the bullpen to the mound, car back, park it, you know, get the garage door open and close. Like, it's too much time.
Yeah.
Just have the guy run out.
Well, even in Major League, you know, they had the cart, but they didn't use it. You know, Wild Thing would come into the game.
Right.
Did he hit it with the ball?
But then Tom Berenger took it to go chase down what's-her-name. That's all they were using it for.
Guys, Bruins just issued a release on Charlie McAvoy, too.
Yeah. And?
Left MCL. 4 weeks, he'll be reevaluated in 4 weeks.
Oh, no. I knew it.
Headlines are brought to you by Cool Sculpting. Freeze away your fat.
Haggerty New. Hashtag Haggerty New.
Freeze away your fat for good with Dr. Joseph Russo's team today. Call 617-964-1440 or josepharussomd.com. I'm Hardy. I'm Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It is no longer wise to ignore it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're going to put off that Celtics thought until a little later on. This, of course, because of the breaking news from the Boston Bruins. They just issued a statement and an update on Charlie McAvoy. The Bruins defenseman will be reevaluated in 4 weeks due to a sprained left MCL.
Ugh.
This according to Don Sweeney, saying Charlie sustained a sprain of his left MCL, be reevaluated in 4 weeks. The injury occurred on March 3rd in the first period in the Bruins game against the Canadiens at TD Garden.
Sprained MCL, a few weeks.
You know.
I mean, play Haggerty from last night on NBC Sports Boston again, the clip we played in the opening segment today. I would say he nailed this one.
Yeah. Good job, Hags.
Saying the best case scenario was sprained MCL 3 to 4 weeks. Best case.
Yeah, sounded pretty certain on that.
And this is where we're at. This is now the case as of today. The best case scenario is he's back in a month.
You may be talking about him missing, you know, 3 weeks, a month, something like that, being ready, able to get back and get ready for the playoffs.
Yep, that's exactly what happened today, because this is no sure bet. Reevaluated in a month, they could go back in a month and look at his knee and say, you're not ready.
Wow. They say young guys heal quicker than older guys, too. I've had the MCL. It's a bitch. It's painful.
Slow heal, isn't it?
It hurts.
No blood flow, right?
Doesn't feel like it's stable.
That's why all those guys go get...
You know what it is, too?
And they do. They put the blood in a centrifuge and they spin it around, the blood spinning overseas.
Yeah. Send them to Europe. You know, with that sport, too, everything's predicated on cutting and skates catching and... littlest little twinge or twank and just screw that thing up. Ugh. That's awful.
Platelet-rich plasma therapy.
Sounds like thick blood.
That's what it is.
Like a, you ever order of one of those Bloody Marys? And I like the thin ones. The thick ones, I don't like that thick, soupy tomato taste. I like it nice and thin.
Yeah, because that means it has more vodka in it.
No, it's just too much tomato. Like,
oh, that's
good. Clamato. I like Clamato.
Yeah.
Zing Zang's good.
Sure.
Yeah.
I like salmon apple myself. But yeah, clam and tomato, that's good.
It's called Clamato. It's very good. It's a brand. Check it out.
I know it is.
It's tasty. A little tangy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good. Poor kid.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that sucks, but hey, now you know. So at least, you know, you get your ass going. You sit with the team. You tell which guys you need to depend on. Carlo's got to step up here and stop pushing Bergeron on chairs. And, you know, the more you can do, baby.
Well, I'd say good news today is that Krug is going to have to talk to us about it.
Yes, he is.
Krug.
What do you think about that statement, Krug?
We got a statement now, Krug.
In your face.
We know what the story is.
In your face.
I'm glad this came out when it did.
I am too. What time we have him?
12:20.
12:20.
So you're right. This scares the hell out. It's like the Seidenberg thing all over again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're going to sit there, and guess what you're going to do? There's going to be a dip where, when do they go on the road? Middle of the month? For a little dip there? And not to say it's going to be a dip, but say they play poorly. Then you start counting the days, counting the weeks. And we did this exact same thing. By time until Seidenberg comes back.
Can I ask you a question? So, we talked about the flip-flops out on the ice yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't care that it's only an MCL. Does that not seem kind of stupid to have been doing that?
No.
Really?
No. No. I mean, if you could walk on an ACL.
I know you can.
I mean, if you brace them up. See, this is like a grade two. It's a grade two to me. Grade three is 4 to 6. So it's kind of like, you know, we're gonna classify this as a middle of the road MCL sprain, which means there's a slight tear in his MCL, and the only thing that heals that is time. The problem is everybody's different. When you come back and with this sport, it's not like you're an offensive lineman, you tape it up and you're gonna go straight ahead and not cut on it. And you lean on your legs, man. You lean on your knees, and when they get wobbly, like that's not good for him. Not good. You don't want to hurt the young kid. But he's so important to what you do. Hey, to what he said now. Now you got an aging Chara that's going to be asked to play more minutes. And, you know, that's what you don't want in the playoffs when you get to those games. That's, best case scenario, though. You got to take it for what it is. He's not done for the year. But Seidenberg ended up being done for the year. So who knows? Who knows what's going to happen in a month? Reevaluate in 1 month.
I also, you know, that could go two ways. That could go great. Hey, you look good. Feel good. Looks healed. Get back out on the ice. Or it goes the other way where they say, no, you're not ready.
Right.
You know, you're going to miss the first round. That's 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, but then it's a whole another month of coulda, woulda, shoulda, but, you know, like, we don't know.
They but beyond, know. Like, let's say ask. The first round, they need him. They can't get by without
yeah,
him.
Yeah, Haggerty has the perception like they're toast without him. Like, one and done. I don't feel that way. Hey. Second round? You know, you don't have him? That's problematic.
Yeah, I think you need him at that point.
Yeah. It's almost like get in, buy a round, find a way to win it, and then let's get the kid up and going. What's Bergeron state at that point?
I think Bergeron is going to be completely fine.
Yeah, should
long
be.
Before the regular season's over. Yeah. I know that they had to, you know, push him out there on the chair. That's because they're keeping the weight off the foot.
Right.
They're just letting it heal.
It'll be stupid. To your point, well, why'd you have the kid go out there and you know, flip flops? Well, because he could. Bergeron, you probably don't want him standing on.
Well, it doesn't make any sense. Right. No, you don't want him putting right. weight on it because they are trying to keep all the weight off it to let that bone heal, in which it will. I'm not concerned about Bergeron. Bergeron, I think, is a cut-and-dry injury. It is. They came back.
Should
they
be.
Saw a slight break, fracture. It's going to be fine.
Yeah, because I start thinking Edelman. You know, keep the weight off. Put the screws
right,
in.
Right, like it's not. Like
to that
it's,
degree.
It's a bone. Yeah, that's pretty
broken.
Pretty solid, established timelines on the type of thing that he's dealing with.
Yeah.
Whereas with McAvoy, when you're dealing with ligaments and you're dealing with tears, those vary person to person and on the severity of the tear, which, of course, we'll never know the exact
severity. You know, going back to looking at him going down as they took him down a tunnel, too, he was in pain. Like, he couldn't get up. That's scary.
So bad news for the Bruins today. Charlie McAvoy going to be out for at least a month. He'll be reevaluated in a month by the Bruins with a left MCL sprain. That's what it's being termed by the Bruins today. Coming up next, we'll be talking with the head coach of the Boston Celtics. That is Brad Stevens. He joins us next.
It's the joy of the hot dog.
Yeah. Boom. Like, I win. Like, yeah.
But he has the ability to get skinny in the hole.
I know. I want to get it out.
Highly underrated piece of news.
Beadle and Zell.
Sports Hub host for the most.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Shane Larkin thinking about it. Shot clock down to six. Cunning Jaylen Brown catches free throw line, dives in, scoring off the window, and the foul. And the Celtics are playing at an entirely different level from Chicago right now.
You know what? And it starts again. Kyrie Irving is tremendous at what he does individually. But Shane Larkin is playing a heavy quarterback position set up guy.
Largest lead on the road for the Celtics this year by a wide margin, and now their fifth 30-point lead of the year, 68-38, with 7:53 to go in the third.
Bit of a beatdown there last night, the Celtics put on the Bulls.
It's nice after Saturday. Nice to have that.
And they did it without Kyrie Irving, dealing with his knee.
Yeah.
Kyrie Irving sat that one out. We'll be talking to Celtics head coach Brad Stevens momentarily, but we are in the awkward spot of not having Brad Stevens on the line.
Slacker.
I don't know. Has this ever happened? Has Brad ever not called it like...
The last time he had to switch days, he didn't call in right away.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a switching day
so
thing.
So it's switching the day
could be
thing.
The phone.
Because he's so very on time. I mean, always.
Who was the Bruins kid that had the iPhone and tried to blame his phone? Was that Sagan?
That's Tyler Sagan, yeah.
Well, maybe Coach has one of those flip phones. He doesn't have the iPhone. It resets when you go from, you know.
Yeah, he's in a different time zone.
Central.
Yeah,
never
right.
know.
It's hard. Hard to make that transition. You have something you want to share with the class?
No. Trouble for that.
I don't know what it was.
I don't know.
I just hear
just mouthing words at me.
Snickering and mouthing words.
I'm just getting ready for Dan Shaughnessy coming in. He's like, Dan wrote an article about, like, all giddy now.
Well, Dan wrote a column today that is unlike him.
Guys, read
I mean, it was a really interesting story about coaching and about Brad Stevens, and it was all about sports, and there wasn't even the slightest bit of criticism in this column.
Yeah, no negativity.
I love the comments below the story on the Boston Globe website about this column that Dan wrote.
Are you on
the
trust?
First one. Here's the first comment. And Dan Shaughnessy is sitting in our studio right now.
Blushing.
This guy from Boss Guy 22.
Boss Guy.
guy.
Well, tough guy.
I bet he's boss.
It's amazing how good of a writer you can be when you avoid the lazy, oft-repeated, cliche-filled articles that have become your standard the last 10 to 15 years.
Cosign. hashtag cosign.
Autocar writes, boss, thanks. I was thinking the same thing while reading this very enjoyable look at the tradition of coaching and plays in basketball.
Okay, so that one didn't crap all over Dan as much as the first guy. It's like, are there any just complimentary comments?
Here's
that
one.
Don't crap all over.
Exactly correct from Budhead. Wow. We quotes, input from relevant people, no lazy, unsubstantiated slams.
Why do people think
no
he's
regurgitated
lazy?
Cliches? A real sports column by Dan? Again, wow.
Those guys are pretty good.
Oh, these comments, they go on and on.
Some
and
of your
on.
Commenters,
the comments
yeah,
at the top.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah.
Wish I could
they're good
like
writers.
Yeah. 617-779-0985. Okay, we're waiting on Stevens.
Hey, want to go to Hardy? Hardy's point on?
Yeah.
What you,
I just know I that Hardy has never been a Horford guy. Yeah.
I started coming around a little bit this year. I started to feel like maybe I saw the things that I was supposed to be seeing by the great basketball minds, the things he does away from the ball, the intensity with which he plays, how he has a commanding presence there on the floor, especially defensively.
All true. All
true. All true.
See him still that in a dunk it last night?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's impressive when you're, you know, up 37 points in the third quarter.
Silver was squawking. Flint goes, he's 6'10". So he can dunk.
Here's what I would ask you, because Hardy, I know you're a guy that started to come around on him, is can't all of those things that you mentioned be true, but the guy just had a terrible game at a terrible time on Saturday night?
Yes.
Okay.
It can be true.
All right.
But it's been a while since I saw that other thing along with that.
Well, he has not been very good since the All-Star break.
There you go. And that's it.
He's had a bad stretch.
You don't have to wow me night in and night out, but to be continually underwhelmed and then couple that with a bad outing against Houston, for somebody who's already on the fence with Al Horford, now you got me on the other, now you got me back on the side where I started. Well, I don't see what all the fuss is about. It's tough for me to see, and there were some people who would still tell you it's like, no, he's still doing things even on those 7-point nights. 3 rebounds, you know. Look, he got 6 assists. He's out there. He's dishing. It doesn't. It's not going to blow you away. It's not showtime.
The big 7 rebounds.
But he's, you know, he's the glue. He's the glue. Sometimes I just don't see it. I haven't seen it lately.
All right, Tom is in Tewksbury. Tom, what do you have for us today?
Hey, yeah, you know, with the McAvoy issue and you guys saying he's out for a month, it made me think about it. My little brother, 15 years old, actually tore his MCL back in November, and he was out for the whole 3 months with that same idea. It's a slight tear, so it sounds like it was the same type of issue.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen guys, and you go back and you look at the video, looks like, you know, the thing, he bends in, and it's not like the whole knee caves in, where I've seen guys caving in. They rip it from the bone, and it's third degree, and it's, you know, it's a definite 4 to 6, easy 6 to 8 potentially. I mean, it doesn't look like that for him. It looks like a middle-of-the-road one for him. I'd believe he'd be back in under 6 weeks. Full go. What the hell I know?
Well, that means it's the first round.
The hell I know. Right. Get him ready for the first round. Don't worry about this month. Get through the month.
No, I'm saying that would mean missing the first round if it's 6 weeks.
Yeah, you get him skating that first round. Try and get him right for the second round. Yeah.
Again,
like you're not just going to roll them out.
I think they're looking at those final 3 games or final 2 games of the regular season, and they're hoping for that. Let's go to the expert hotline and welcome in the head coach of the Boston Celtics, who got a win last night over the Bulls. It's Brad Stevens joining us. Hi, Brad.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Yeah, a little late there, coach. What's going on? You on the
Everything
road?
Okay?
Slacker?
Hey, I didn't realize I was calling in on Tuesday morning. I probably set that up last week, and to be honest, blanked on it. I was actually sitting down with a coach in another sport. Talking shop. Sorry, I'm late.
Can you elaborate on that?
Oh, I was actually just sitting down with a person that works here in Chicago with another pro team. We were just talking about all the different challenges and fun parts about you know, being in sports.
You like the way your team responded from Saturday's tough loss?
We played with good purpose. We played together. We played hard. We were ready to play. Obviously, without Kyrie, you know, last time we came to Chicago, we got beat pretty good. So I think that, you know, hey, we know that this is really about showing improvement and showing strides. Every night in basketball presents a different challenge. It's a little bit unique each game, but we want to show that we're making the right strides. And I was encouraged by how we played, you know, last night.
If I could jump back to the coaching that you were just talking about, Dan Shaughnessy had a column today in the Boston Globe, which is amazing because Dan's usually very negative, but this is a very positive column about basketball coaches, and you were prominently featured in it. You never stop trying. From what I took away was you never stop trying to become a better coach. It feels like you put in a lot of time outside of your time as Celtics coach in becoming a better coach, if that makes sense. Is that fair to say? Like, some of your personal time is spent on your professional life.
Well, I think that, you know, when you're and you guys know this. I mean, I'm first and foremost a sports junkie. So, like, you know, I grew up wanting to be a player, and I watched everything, and I was a fan, and then, you know, I was lucky enough to get into coaching. And one of the things I learned early on in coaching was that if you're not constantly improving, if you're not constantly seeking to improve, you're gonna get passed by pretty quickly. And you know, it's just like anything else. You have to work hard to stay, you know, stay competitive. There's incredibly bright people that you're competing against on a day-to-day basis. And so you need to do it from a competitive standpoint to continue to learn and grow and everything else. And then the other part of it is I just really enjoy that part of it. I enjoy spending time thinking about how to be better. I enjoy learning about how people lead different organizations. Doesn't have to be in sports. I enjoy all of the new thoughts on higher education and how best to get through to people or how best to connect. And I think that it's fun because, you know, at the end of the day, you build great relationships and you can learn so much in all of those interactions. I love being around people that are thinking about how to lead, how to manage, and how to ultimately get the most out of their group.
We're talking with Brad Stevens, and in this story in the Boston Globe, it talks about how you once saw a defensive drill with the Cavaliers that then became a base for what you were doing offensively at the time. Do you consciously make sure you don't fall into the trap of becoming a certain type of coach that runs a certain type of system? Because there are those coaches out there that run a certain style of team, and they never get away from it. They run the same thing forever. There's something that you can come to expect from certain coach teams. Do you go out of your way to say, I don't want to be that? I always want to be sort of fluid and able to change.
Well, I think there's two parts of that. Number one is I haven't seen a lot of coaches that I would say that about. I know that that's something that maybe people have said in the past, but, you know, a lot of the coaches that I've certainly in the NBA, but then even in college, you know, there's a few examples that just recruit to their system and run their system over and over. But a lot of them are very, very flexible. At the same time, I will say this. I think as a coach, you know, you're always trying to learn. You're always trying to grow. You're always trying to do different things that will fit your team and the strengths of your team. But there are certain things that you've been very comfortable with or that you've found to be successful that I think you do go back to because that is what you feel comfortable teaching and that's what you feel comfortable doing. You know, when I first came before, and that's probably the time that I lost more sleep than ever in coaching because I wanted to make sure that I was saying things that were right. You know, I wanted to make sure that if, you know, these 10 questions were asked, I had 10 answers and then was able to expound on each of them about why we were doing what we were doing. Because at the end of the day, you've got to be able to, no matter what your system is, no matter what your style is, what you're doing on offense or defense, it's about whether or not you're together doing it. Like I had a college coach, my college coach said, and it was a great line, if we're all wrong, but we're on the same page, we're in much better shape than some of us being right. And I think that that is true. It's all about how connected you are, how willing you all are to do it. And if you're all that, then you got a good chance.
Example, like last night, you know, it's better to keep Rozier and Smart together coming off the bench, and you start Larkin, you know, for the betterment of this team moving forward.
Well, and you know, that was obviously not an easy one, but I think it's made easier by the fact that every time Shane's gone in this year, you feel good about our team. And the bench was playing at the level they were playing at going into that game. So, you know, I think that I trust any of those guys to start or play a role whenever called upon. And I think sometimes the whole starting thing's a little overrated. I mean, when you get to start, you get to play with, you know, we had some guys that we could post on the wing. Al was really good last night. We could go to him. You know, you've got those other four guys are used to being in that role. And when you are put next to them, it's pretty fluid. It shouldn't be a huge change. And then that allowed Smart and Terry to come off the bench. And those guys have been excellent for us since the All-Star break.
We're talking with Brad Stevens here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, WBZ-FM and HD1 Boston. Brad, are you tired of answering the questions about Gordon Hayward and whether or not he will play? I saw that you said in no uncertain terms over the weekend he will not play this year and that you didn't know what else to say at that point. Are you tired of those questions?
No, everybody's got a job to do. I get it. I'll answer them every time they're asked, and it'll be the same answer every time I'm asked. But he's making good progress at the rate that he can, but he's not coming back this year.
Kyrie Irving too. It seemed like you had some fun with it. Said you benched him because he missed some foul shots. Sort of just a maintenance. Because he couldn't miss the foul shots.
He's so good. It's hard to miss when you're that good.
Any updates on the knee? Just some soreness from Saturday playing through it.
He was pretty sore yesterday. I don't have any update this morning. He'll be day to day. We have an optional shooting day where we've got a gym, but we don't have practice today. We're going to reconvene once we fly to Minnesota tomorrow in Minnesota and practice, and then see how he feels tomorrow. I'll have a better idea tomorrow, but you know, it could be one of those things where he feels a lot better and is able to play, but could also be one of these, you know, things where he misses a couple. You know, we'll see how he's doing. We're obviously going to be very conservative with him right now.
Is there an expectation that that knee will require surgery at some point? There had been previous reports that it did need surgery.
I think that ultimately, those are things that I'll let him answer. But I think that that ultimately it's something that we always have to be alert to because of the fact that he had surgery 2 years ago. And so we've been very conscious of that all season and, you know, both in practice and in games. And he's, you know, he has had very little issue with it all year. But it does require the appropriate, appropriate maintenance day to day. And this is one of the very rare circumstances where he's experienced a little bit more soreness. And so, again, we just want to be cautious about it.
One final one for you, Coach, and that's related to Al Horford, who didn't have a great night on Saturday night, took full ownership of that. He wasn't happy with the way that he played, but it's been a little bit of a stretch for him where he hasn't played his best. Is he completely healthy? Is he dealing with anything, or is it just he's kind of in a rut?
I think that I think everybody's got nicks and bruises from the long season, and he tweaked his ankle right before the All-Star break. But was able to play through it and felt pretty good coming back out of the All-Star break. Just think that was one of those games. And I don't worry about Al. Al will be fine. Al's a guy that we trust. Al's a guy that's added to winning in every way since he's been here. You know, there's a reason why. He's a huge reason why we won 53 games last year. He's a huge reason why we're in the position we're in again. He was tremendous in the playoffs. You know, Al's a pro. Al's really good. Sometimes the ball doesn't go in the basket. You know, that's just the way this game goes. But I don't lose any sleep over Al Horford, that's for sure.
All right. Have fun in Minnesota. It's cold as hell there. We spent 8 days there. It's miserable.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be really nice there, too, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 6 inches tomorrow.
Enjoy.
Night. Yeah, it's going to be fun.
We'll all enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you know if it's a little bit nicer.
All right. Okay. All right, Coach.
Brad Stevens. Appreciate it. Brad Stevens, you're on Zolak and Bertrand.